Good morning.
Good morning.
I am not afraid. Amen. It was a word that was given to me from a dear brother as I was preparing for this morning. He said that, I believe it was yesterday morning, he was praying for me and for the church and for the message that was going to come forth. And he started to pray and he said, God stopped me dead in my tracks. And I thought, oh dear Lord, what's going on? And he said, He stopped me dead in my tracks and he gave me two verses for you. He said, be strong and very courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And how can you be afraid? How can you do anything when you've been blessed of the Lord, right? When somebody is praying for you, and the God of all creation stops them and gives them a word specifically for you. Well, this morning, I want to thank you for the opportunity to come back. I was here approximately 6 months ago, about a month after I had gallbladder surgery. And my voice wasn't quite as strong as it usually is, and my energy level was not fully restored. So guess what? You get the full Jeff today. So I thank you for the opportunity. And I am grateful, not only to you, but to the Lord. I come to you this morning to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I come to you as an oracle of his word today. And I believe that I've received a word, not just for you, but for the entire corporate church, especially the church in westernized culture. Amen? So my opening, this is going to be a little bit different probably. My opening will be probably almost as long as the message. So my opening is about 10 minutes. The opening is a word that I received from the Lord. I was invited to write an article for the February newsletter for ICCI, which is the Independent Christian Churches Incorporated, and it's the organization that I'm licensed and ordained through. I believe Scott, you're also there. Dawn, I believe, is in process. No, she comes to the meetings, so I just, yeah, that's good enough, right? So, but anyway, it's an organization that consists of about somewhere between 10 and 13,000, if I'm not mistaken. It's the largest ordaining body in North America. So, this is the word that the Lord gave me. Bear with me here. I have 14 pages of notes for this morning. I think I'm joking, right? Don't worry, it's all 16-point type and double space, so condensed it would be about 3 pages. So. But anyway, all kidding aside, because I tend to joke when I'm nervous, and it's time. Let me give you what the word that went forth to for the church. A word for 2023 to all who will listen. We can all agree that ministry has changed since the pandemic. But I believe the Lord would have us carefully examine this perspective for the truth of the hour. Amen. Most everything in the lives of people have become unstable, subject to change with the latest TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, viral post on social media. Our youth think that whatever they see on the internet is probably true and okay for them to do. Our schools are filled with insolent behavior and a general lack of disrespect for authority. Parents are absent from the duties to train up their children in the ways they should go. And this coincides with the gospel. This coincides with attendance in the local churches dwindling. And I believe there is a direct correlation. I've heard it said that we must change the way we do ministry in order to be relevant to the masses. This is where our great dilemma occurs. You see, many have chosen to change what is presented to their congregations, perhaps even yielding to a seeker-friendly type of service. Others believe it's the style of music that needs to be presented to people in order to attract them. With many of the worship teams playing the latest and the most popular songs that are from the well-known mega churches. In short, ministry today has become in many ways a process of familiarity. The first area in which the Lord directed me is that of holiness and the fear of the Lord. The pulpit today is not looked at with eyes of holiness. There are messages presented from the scriptures that will bring knowledge, but are lacking in the power of the Holy Spirit that brings change to a person's life. Where are the altar calls for repentance, forgiveness, and salvation? Presenting a message from the scriptures does not bring salvation to someone. It's the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that leads one to the truth of the gospel message and to salvation. The Holy Spirit will not operate in settings where he is not welcome. He will not operate where he's not invited to move. In John 16, verses 13 through 14, Jesus declared, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit becomes active to, the Holy Spirit becomes active to save people precisely where the gospel of Jesus is presented. Where Jesus' atoning work is not proclaimed, there is no truth for the Holy Spirit to empower, and there's no knowledge of Christ for him to exalt. So what am I saying? It's apparent that the message of Jesus' atoning work on the cross is not being preached in most places, or else we would be seeing dramatic growth in the church. That's church with a capital C. When we preach the message of the cross and the selfless shedding of Jesus' blood, there will be an accompanying holiness and reverence of the Lord. The good news and the encouragement this morning is that it's not too late to implement this message and subsequent altar activities in our services. The second area of concern from the Lord is that there must be an understanding of the difference between a preacher and a pastor. What sets these two offices apart is the burden of a responsibility that a pastor carries. Both callings can move in the Spirit. Both are usually proficient in creating and presenting messages. But a pastor, according to the scriptures, is a shepherd. A shepherd is focused on the flock through the good times and through the bad times. A shepherd does not have the choice of choosing who is in their flock, just as the flock does not have a choice of choosing who their favorite or preferred shepherd is. Both are placed in position just as the Lord desires. The shepherd makes himself or herself available to the flock, to each and every sheep on a regular basis, which is how the flock learns to follow his voice or her voice and trust in their decisions. The shepherd proclaims God's word, refutes heresy, exercises leadership, and is an example of sound doctrine and purity. In other words, as the pulpit goes, so goes the church. People are looking for someone to whom they can turn, whom they can trust and rely on for truth in any situation, whether it's sickness, hospital visits, divorce, bankruptcy, death, severe illness. They want to know that they matter and that they're accepted. Again, the word of encouragement this morning is that it isn't too late to make adjustments in the way we function daily. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. There is a direction and inspiration of the Holy Scriptures that leads to eternal life. This is what people are looking for. And most of them don't even understand what they are truly seeking. We may change the look of our sanctuary. We may change the style of our music, our preaching style, even our dress code. But we must never, let me say that again, we must never forsake the presentation of Jesus Christ and His atoning work on the cross. Because that is where our remission of sins comes from. Without that, there is nothing with which the Holy Spirit can use to move people to a salvation decision. And that's the easy part. Then it is up to the shepherd and their staff to reach out to the flock regularly and tend to their issues. It's not easy. Let me say that again. The job of a shepherd is not easy. If you think it is, go back and look at David and read about David fighting bears and lions as a boy. It's not easy, or else there would be long lines of potential candidates. That's why it takes a calling from the Lord and an obedient response to His work. Remember the passage from Esther 4 and 14. Yet who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this? In a time when the world demands change, the Lord is calling us to remain in holiness and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just bits and pieces, but the whole gospel. He's calling us to preach Jesus' life as modeled in the Scriptures, His death on the cross, His ascension to the right hand of the Father, and His promise to return, gathering His bride for eternity with Him. Amen? There are multitudes of people living their lives in pain, anguish, and denial of absolute truth. It's time for them to hear the unabridged and the unashamed gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. It's time. The time is now for them to hear the unabridged and the unashamed gospel of Jesus Christ. What is it in Romans chapter 1? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, both for the Jew and for the Greek. Amen? Friends, it's time for them to experience the same grace and mercy from us that we received from Jesus when we were saved. Amen? There's an epidemic that has followed the COVID-19 pandemic, and it is still on the rise. People are leaving the church in record numbers. Yet we scratch our heads and wonder why. There are a record number of pastors leaving the ministry every month. The last number I heard was in this country alone, there are 1,500 pastors leaving ministry per month. The problem is it's leaving pulpits empty and congregations unprotected. There are some churches who have figured out the solution to the epidemic, but most are still operating as church as usual, quote unquote. So this morning, we're going to venture into the Scriptures and we're going to look for some answers. Amen? That was the letter that went out, or the article that went out in the newsletter. So this morning, I want to talk about four things that you cannot live without. All right? Four things that you cannot live without. The first one, we cannot live without the shedding of blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Amen? Hebrews 9 and 22 says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Remission of what? Sin. This is not just a revealed covenant issue. And by the way, let me back up. I've been going through some transformations in my life, in my walk with Jesus. I no longer call the two sections of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, because for so long, we have divided those, and we either believe the old or we believe the new, it seems like. There's argument, and that's not the case. It's all one. It all comes together as one. I call it the concealed covenant and the revealed covenant, because it's all been one from the very beginning. Amen? So if you hear me refer to revealed covenant, that's New Testament. Concealed covenant is Old Testament. It's concealed because Jesus had not yet, as he keeps saying in the show called The Chosen, my time has not yet come. That's Old Testament. That's concealed covenant. Okay? So, according to the revealed covenant, we have Hebrews 9:22, but it's not just covered in the revealed covenant. It's been from the very beginning. There's been a standard of a requirement of blood from the very foundation of the earth. We can go back to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve ate the apple, ate the fruit, and you can blame Adam, you can blame Eve. Doesn't matter. They both ate, they both sinned. Amen? And what happened? They realized they were naked, so they found fig leaves to cover themselves. And then they hid from God. I still don't understand that, and that's fine. But what did God do for them? It said that he clothed them with skins from an animal. Sounds to me like there was some shedding of blood. Amen? I mean, this is the very beginning. We can go to Exodus chapter 12, which is the story of the Passover. And we all know the story, right? That they were instructed to take the blood of a lamb and to cover the doorposts of their homes. And that night, the death angel would pass through and kill all the firstborn children, right? But it took the sacrifice of a lamb. It took the shedding of blood. Jumping into the revealed covenant, crucifixion of Jesus for the remission of everyone's sin. You see, up until that point, it was up to the people to shed the blood, to bring the sacrifice to the priest at the temple. It was up to the people to do that. And we kept fouling it up. Is it okay to say that? We messed it up. And the Lord said, enough's enough. I'm going to not make my covenant with people anymore. I'm going to make it with my son. And he will shed his blood for all people. It's not just for Christians. He shed his blood for all people. That whosoever will shall be saved. Amen? We recognize the blood of Jesus Christ as the atonement for our sins. And be careful when you break that down. It's still a belief in Jesus. But it's not pointed to any one group of people. It's for anyone, whosoever will. Amen? So the question is, why is blood required from Father God? Why is it all about the blood? And our answer is found in the third book of Moses, Leviticus. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Simply put, our answer is, the life is in the blood. And when we give blood as the sacrifice, we're given our lives. Amen? So, four things that we cannot live without. The first one, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Number two, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I have to say it again, right? Three is God's perfect number. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen? Not casually. Diligently seek him. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ has already done everything he needs to do. He is no longer laboring for us. He is seated. He's seated at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the power, as the old King James Version says. So if he's already done his part, then the rest of it must be up to us. Right? Hebrews is a great, chapter 11 is a great chapter. And it starts out by saying, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things which are visible. Right? He spoke, and it came into creation. It came into being. Faith is believing and receiving what Father God has revealed. Faith is personal trust apart from any works in Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean we can be lazy and not do anything for Jesus once we're saved? No. But if we're truly born again, there will be a desire for us to want to do those good works. Amen? So, four things that you cannot live without. I'm pounding this into your head because I believe it is truth, straight from the mouth of God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Number three, without Jesus, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, you can do absolutely nothing. Jesus in John 15:5 declared, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing." You know, one of the greatest evangelists that we've had in this Christian walk has been Reverend Billy Graham, right? And he once stated this. He said, I'm going to read it word for word because I want to make sure I get this right. He said, "The scriptures in no place tell us to live a Christian life. It tells us that our old man must die and Christ must live in us and through us." This is what Jesus means when he says, "Abide in me and I will abide in you. The Apostle Paul points to this as well in 2 Corinthians 5, a well-known verse. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God. Amen? And he also points into that very thing in Colossians chapter 3, where he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Amen? Y'all getting quiet on me. Without Jesus, there is no atoning blood to wash away your sins. Without Jesus, there's no possibility of redemption and eternal life with Father God in paradise. Because the Word says that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Now I'm going to make this next statement and I'm going to ask you to take it in context. But without Jesus, there's no reason to come to church. There is absolutely no reason to come here and gather if it isn't because of Jesus. It's another club. It's another social meeting. It's got to be about Jesus. It's got to be about his atoning work. It's got to be about the cross. And once we figure that out, then it's got to be about reaching others with that message. Because that's the thing that we've all been given. That's the assignment we all have once we're in Christ. Yet we all have different talents. We all have different gifts. Some play music. Some are studiers. Some preach. Some fill the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers out of Ephesians 4. But we're also, if you look at, there's two proverbs that, or not proverbs, two parables that Jesus tells in the Gospels. One is called the parable of the gifts or the talents. And the other is called the gifts of the minas or minas, depending on how you pronounce that. One of them, the servants get different amounts of gifts based on how they were created by Father God. The other one is all the servants get the same thing. That same thing is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How are we going to profess that? How are we going to stand before the Lord and give testimony of what we've done since we've been saved? Amen? Again, without Jesus, there's no reason to even gather. Because without Jesus, you can do nothing. Four things that you cannot live without. Without shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without Jesus, you can do absolutely nothing. And the fourth one is, without a pastor, there is no apostolic covering or there is no divine direction for the church. In the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, there was a letter sent to the seven churches. And it's written to the angel of each church. And that's defined as pastor, the leader of that church. This is the way it's been from the very beginning with Father God. He has opted to work with one representative from each group of people. Numbers chapter 12, we seem to find a disagreement between Aaron and Miriam versus Moses. They're thinking, well, Moses, why, he's not all that. Why can't we lead? Right? You familiar with the story? What does the Lord do? He takes them outside of the camp, the three of them, and tries to reason, and in his anger, causes Miriam to become white with leprosy. Moses was his chosen leader for the people. In number 16, we have what's called the rebellion of Korah. Moses is on the mountain and he has been gone a while. And Korah and Dathan and Abiram decide they're going to lead a rebellion. Because after all, Moses is not all that. We can lead. Who does he think he is? And what happens? Moses comes down from the mountain. God meets them. Moses calls to separate. Whoever will follow me, come to me. Whoever will follow them, go to them. And the Lord opened the ground and swallowed not just the three men, but their entire family trees. Wives, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. The whole tree is gone for each family. Again, Moses was God's chosen leader. Ephesians 4, I've already referred to as the fivefold ministry. There are specific offices that must function so that order and accomplishment occur in each of the individual churches. Again, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. They're all ordained offices, and they're all there for a reason. It's the hierarchy here on earth of Father God, which is never to be altered or ignored. Without a pastor, there's no one to hear the divine instruction from Father God, nor to hear the direction of the Lord and that which he desires for the church to take. Without a pastor, there's no one to safeguard apostolic truth and God's flock by watching out for false doctrine and false teachers. Shepherds are not chosen through politics or popularity, but leading the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father God's chosen leader for any given church will have the gifts and talents specifically that will lead that flock through the process called life. Remember, without a pastor, and I'm going to revise that, without a God-fearing, penitent pastor, there's no apostolic covering, nor is there any divine direction for that body of believers. Look, I understand this message is not popular. I understand that. Especially in today's setting. And it probably will be looked at by some as politically incorrect, maybe even heresy. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is Jesus himself faced this same type of rhetoric during his days on the earth. Because he was not conforming to the accepted ways of man and the traditions of their religious ways. He was on a mission. And that mission, the Word of God. Remember, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Four things you cannot live without. You may be able to even quote those with me by now, because I probably sound like a broken record, but that's okay. That's how I teach. Okay? Without blood, there is no remission of sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please Father God. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. And without a God-fearing, penitent pastor, there is no apostolic covering, nor is there any divine direction for that particular body of Christ. So this morning, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been shared. Amen? The invitation for the Holy Spirit to come has been given because the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached. Now it is up to you. Jesus Christ has done all the work he was assigned to do. So this morning, if there is anyone here today who has not given his or her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, today's the day. Today's the day. It's the acceptable time of the Lord. He came to give us hope to the hopeless. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. And that means captivity from anything that's got you bound. And he's come to open the doors of the prison that's holding you hostage today. Today, all of those things can end. Whatever has grabbed you, whatever has chained you down, whatever has covered you up, whatever has prevented you from opening your mouth for the gospel, it can be set free today. I'm not just talking about salvation. I'm talking about those who are brokenhearted. I'm talking about those who seem hopeless in anything. Those who are bound. Those who are imprisoned. If there's a need for healing, I want you to hear this. The Lord God Almighty is here today. And one of his covenant names is Yehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals. It's a covenant with us that he will not break. He will heal all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases according to Psalm 103. This morning I would like to bless you before I leave the platform. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen.